Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And today we're going to be talking about the international community at Michigan Tech. And to help me do that is Cassie Tefton-Munoz. She is the director of the International Programs Office at Michigan Tech. Cassie, welcome to Copper Country Today.
Thank you so much.
It's kind of an exciting topic. I enjoy going to Michigan Tech and seeing all the different international communities represented at Michigan Tech. And you're kind of right in the heart of that. But tell me a little bit first about what your office does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think most of the community might know our office from the Parade of Nations Festival that we do every year in September. Certainly, that's our sort of flagship event. But we do a lot more than just Parade of Nations. IPS, as we call it, International Programs and Services, we basically cover anything international at Michigan Tech. So that includes all of our international students and scholars who come from about 60 countries around the world, all of the services through our office to help them acculturate, get used to living here in the UP, in Houghton. We also help our students, domestic students, who are interested in studying abroad and having an experience of their own as well.
Michigan Tech, I'm sure most of what makes up our international community here in the Keweenaw are students and faculty at Michigan Tech as well, and faculty members included. And how much or what has to be done in order to provide a welcoming home for these students who are very, very far away from home?
Yeah, you're right, very, very far. You know, a lot of our students, our international students on average are traveling 40 to 50 hours by plane just to get here to Houghton. So a lot really goes into that. You know, first of all, as we like to say in the office, you know, we all know that Houghton, Michigan is not on the way to anywhere. You don't just stop by Houghton. So our international students are making a very conscious and targeted effort to come and continue their studies here. So what we're finding is that, you know, certainly the rigor of the academic programs and the strength of our programs draw international students. But more than that, I think the community has become quite well known for being very welcoming and supportive to them. We hear all the time stories from our international students about just people that they met in Walmart who gave them a lift home as they were walking with all their shopping bags down Sheldon Ave, or somebody who took them in for a dinner at their house on a Sunday. And these are the stories that really spread both here and abroad and continue to draw more students to come and have that really authentic American experience that they're looking for.
Well, I don't even want to think of how many languages are represented with that diverse of a, you know, student body. So how do you handle with, you know, so many different languages and then bringing everybody together?
Yeah, I couldn't even give you the number of languages spoken on campus. You know, at one point we did try to track that, and it just became impossible because even, you know, if you take a look at a country like India, you know, the official language is English, is one of the official languages, but each state or province within India also has multiple local languages as well. So the one thing to keep in mind is that any international student who comes to Michigan Tech must be proficient in English to do well in their studies. We do have an intensive English language institute on campus as well. So students who don't have that proficiency can come and acquire that while they're here. But the vast majority of our students are coming with already a high level of English. So what we find is what we usually struggle with when we're working with language is just slang, and particularly local slang. So I'm originally from Detroit, and I'm still learning local UP slang. So we do have different events throughout the year where we're teaching our international students, you know, what is it, the word, for example, I think it's pank and things like that. So those are fun little things that we do with the students. But overall, language is not a huge challenge as you might expect it to be.
Okay. Out of, what is it, about 6,000 to 7,000 students that are enrolled at Michigan Tech right now, and out of that, how much is made up from the international students?
Yeah, we have about 7,200 students overall, and about 16% international. So at any given time, we have between 12 and 1,400 international students on campus, which actually is one of the largest, if not the largest, international student body by percentage in the state of Michigan. So really quite proud of that diversity.
How are we getting the word about what kind of education people can get at Michigan Tech to all these different countries throughout the world?
Yeah, you know, that is the most amazing part of it all, is it's predominantly word of mouth. What we find is that, for example, so our top international populations on campus come from India, China, Iran, Canada, Bangladesh, and Turkey. Those are our top five countries of origin. In the top three, India, China, and Iran, you know, most of that is word of mouth. A lot of our students knew each other or knew someone who went to tech when they were back in their home country. They see things on Facebook or on social media, and they think, wow, I want to have that experience in Houghton too.
Well, I know with your summer youth programs, because I've had some exposure to them, you know, walking into a class where they're teaching these young kids how to fly airplanes, you know, look, and there's, you know, 30 kids in the class and 25 of them are from the, you know, China or somewhere, and it's like, wow, you know, you think of a program like, you know, your summer youth programs being that popular in another country. I couldn't name you too many things going outside of the state of Michigan, much less in another country.
Yeah.
Do you actively then recruit those students to come to Michigan Tech? Is there an effort by Tech?
We do, yeah. We certainly still receive more students by word of mouth, but we do some select targeted recruitment events throughout the year, particularly to our sort of partner institutions abroad. We do regularly make trips to China and India. I was just in Thailand and Vietnam a week or two ago. So we do some targeted efforts, but the most of our students are finding us through their own means.
Hmm. When the students come here, and of course they're, you know, a stranger in a strange land, you know, how do you help them get acclimated and, you know, find housing and be able to do some of the simple things that we take for granted, which is, you know, just you know, finding friends, finding food? What do they do? What do you do?
Oh, there's so much that goes into it. We're in a really fortunate position that the local community is just so supportive of all of the efforts that our office, that the campus does. And in general, I think it really takes a village to come all together. But to start, we have a huge arrivals program where we offer to pick students up either here locally in CMX or actually down in O'Hare as well. We send charter buses to O'Hare to pick up students. We have alumni on the ground in Chicago that are waiting to greet the students. And so from the very moment that a student lands in the U.S., one of the first people that they meet is actually a student, a current student, who's going to take them to a venue outside of O'Hare where alumni are waiting with food and stories to tell them about Michigan Tech. So we really, from the very moment that they step foot in the U.S., we start framing their experience of you're now a Husky, you're now part of this community. And then when they get here, so after they get to Chicago, we put them on an overnight bus up to Houghton. And when they get here, we have all kinds of excursions and social events. We take them on, for example, like a waterfall tour to a bunch of places in the Keweenaw, some local restaurants. We do, over spring break, we do a staycation where we've taken them to the Calumet Theater for a tour and Keweenaw Coffee Works. Other events that we do throughout the year, we do, for example, International Ski Day, because many of these students have never seen snow before.
I was wondering, our weather is a little bit different than they have in Iran.
A little bit different, yeah, absolutely, especially India. I do think that's a draw, by the way, for students to come here. They're looking for that different experience. So lots of events that we do to help really provide an adjustment to our community and to help them feel supported. So it takes a village to bring it all together. It's certainly more than just our office.
Once the students are here, you have to find a balance between integrating everybody and also, you know, giving them the opportunity to be with others that they may identify through their nationality. So when you're like finding, you know, housing, and most freshmen are in the dorms, do you make any effort to group people together, or do you want people to be spread out?
Well, the housing and residential life, they have a fantastic program where students can meet other new and prospective students, and so they can do sort of their own matching program. Most of our international students will want to room with an American student, and every effort is made to foster that. And of course, if a student knows somebody from their own country and they really want to live together, then that's usually something that can, an accommodation that can be made. But generally speaking, a lot of our international students, they really want to have the full American experience. I think something that is very unique about international students that we see a lot, in especially in the community, is that they know that they're only here for a finite amount of time. They've got maybe 4, 5, or 6 years that they're going to be in the U.S. So as opposed to our American students, international students want to maximize every moment, every experience. So they're the loudest fans at the hockey games. They're the students out hiking in the middle of February. They really try to do it all. And so they really are open to all kinds of experiences, and especially anything that they can do to absorb American culture.
What about food? Let's just go with what's served in the cafeterias at Michigan Tech. I've been there, have great food, but it's predominantly American food.
Yeah, you know, in the last couple of years, a few years actually, Dining Services has done a fantastic effort to really be more inclusive of the desires of our international students, and actually also our American students who are craving, you know, we have this great diversity on campus, and our American students too want to experience that in a culinary way as well. So even in the residence halls, in the dining halls, we do have, I know, like in some of the halls, they have like an International Tuesday where a different country is featured in a special, you know, wok bar or things like that. Kana Kazana is every Friday in the MUB. So actually our international students will take turns cooking a dish from their country every Friday. So there are different international food events that happen throughout every single week throughout the year. And that's pretty cool too, because it usually stems from our students just wanting to share something from their home.
Well, some of these different food events that you were talking about, those are put on by student organizations that provide community for these international students and give them a chance to be around others that are from their home country. And then, for us, the benefit is that they often do these things for the benefit of us living here, so we can experience their culture a little bit as well, and it becomes sort of a give and give.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the local community here, that's one of the really great ways that we see a lot of involvement, is that the support for our international students, especially with things like Diwali night and Chinese New Year, these big events that go on, the majority of attendance is actually from the community. It's not necessarily from campus. And so that's how we like to share that with students who are interested in coming to Michigan Tech, that really we want you here, you're welcome here, and you're going to be accepted here.
When you do have a student that is, let's say, for lack of better a phrase, they're homesick, you know, and they're not adjusting well, what steps do you take to help that student?
Well, you can imagine we see that quite a bit. One of the things that we do to help students when they arrive, we have a mandatory course now for international students that we started, I think, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and it's called Life at Michigan Tech, and it's a 7-week course. It's 1 hour a week. It's not credit bearing, but it's essentially a workshop, and we talk about culture shock and the different stages that students go through in culture shock. For those familiar with culture shock, you know, there's definitely a honeymoon period where you first get here and everything is new and everything is great and American food is awesome. And then usually by about week 4 or 5, or whenever, you know, their ATM card doesn't work or some big challenge happens, it's like, oh, I hate pizza. If I ever see another slice of pizza again, I'll, you know, they definitely go through a little bit of a dip. And so that is usually when we see the most homesickness start to come out. And so our office intervenes in a variety of ways. One of the great things is that we do have such a fantastic community within the university of student organizations that play a big part in providing community away from home. But we also will help with things like, a lot of times when that homesickness sets in, what they really need is a break in their routine. So we'll suggest activities that they can do to just try something new and focus on something positive instead of how much they might be missing someone at home. With, you know, technology these days, staying in touch with friends and family at home has become a lot easier, and I do think that helps.
All right. Our political climate has generated some uncomfortable situations when it comes to international students. Michigan Tech at one point made a decision, it appears, that they were going to back their students and support them when, you know, different policies sort of clash with the interests of those students. So am I correct in that Michigan Tech, you know, their first and foremost thing is they do want to back their students, their best interests?
Absolutely. I think I hate to speak on behalf of the whole institution, but what I've seen over the past year is just an incredible, strong response for the benefit of our students, that we are here for them regardless of what happens. They are a part of our community just as much, or as you or I is a part of the community. Our students really have seen and felt that. I think I've been really impressed by the way campus has come together, and recent events that have been happening to me just communicates that we need to put people and people together more. You know, for example, I know that if somebody has never met a person from Iran before, it's quite easy to make assumptions about that culture or that country or that country's government without having actually had a conversation with somebody from there. And so one of the ways that we are working to sort of combat this is to basically get our international students out in the community more so that people do have a chance to meet them and know more about them. And that's how we bring our communities together.
I think a sign of the success of Michigan Tech's effort to do that is that you see, especially on national news and a lot of college campuses, they're the heart of unrest, where there is, a lot of political protests. There's a lot of anger and quite a few demonstrations that that sometimes they even get out of hand. But with Michigan Tech, it seems like people are generally getting along very, very well. You don't see a lot of that unrest, a lot of that anxiety, even though that they're affected by a lot of these things. It doesn't manifest itself a lot in any kind of negative way. So I would think that would be because they do feel supported. They don't feel like that they have to make a lot of noise to be heard, because they are being heard.
I would agree with you. And also, because we do have such a large international population, they're just naturally very well integrated into the university community. So as I mentioned, people now, maybe more at Michigan Tech than at other universities, people have a colleague who's from a country that was affected, or people had dinner one night with a family that they know that has been affected by some of the recent government things. And those experiences really bring a humanizing perspective on sort of regulations, and that's what really makes the difference, I think, in our campus really coming together, because they're our friends, they're our family members, they're our colleagues, and we all sort of have to come together to make them feel welcome and know that they are welcomed.
Earlier, you said that your office not only provides a welcoming atmosphere for international students coming here, but you also support students going to other countries with opportunities to study. What are some of the opportunities that those students have?
Basically limitless. I mean, this is one of those cases where the world is truly in the hands of our students. We send students abroad to over 150 different places a year. So that could be anywhere from a small, village in the Pyrenees in Europe, or that could be, down in Chile. We have a fantastic pre-med program in Cyprus. Students are working in labs in Cyprus. And we have students climbing mountains in New Zealand. And it really just depends on students' academic goals. But we literally have an opportunity for just about everybody to go and have an experience abroad, an academic experience, as well as a social adult experience, where they're becoming more independent and learning how to be resourceful and adapting to another country and culture.
Are these students studying at a university over there, or are they doing more field work?
Both. Both. We also have students going abroad to do international research with different institutions abroad in their research labs. The type of experiences abroad is so varied. We have students doing internships abroad. We have students doing volunteer work abroad, sometimes even clinical work, especially our pre-med students will work in different clinics abroad to get a different perspective on, approaches to medicine and things like that. So absolutely any type of experience that a student wants to have, it's usually available and just waiting for them to take advantage of it.
Well, these type of educational opportunities often come with a pretty hefty price tag that would put it out of reach for a lot of students. How do you handle that?
Well, that is, I'm glad you brought that up. That's one of the biggest myths about study abroad, actually. So at Michigan Tech, we really make a concerted effort to keep our study abroad programs accessible for students of all economic means. And I speak from personal experience. When I was a student at Michigan Tech, I did my undergrad at Michigan Tech. I certainly didn't have a lot of funds at my disposal, and I did a study abroad in Costa Rica. Costa Rica happens to be a very inexpensive place to live and study, and in fact, in my experience, it was less expensive for me to study in Costa Rica than it probably would have been for me to be at Michigan Tech. The cost of living is like $4 a day. You eat mostly rice and beans. But that aside, about 3/4 of our programs at Michigan Tech cost the same as Michigan Tech tuition. So most of our students are finding that provided that they do the right planning to make sure that the classes and all will all work out, studying abroad can be just the same as them living on campus. And in addition to that, we have many scholarships for the out-of-pocket expenses, like the flights, for example. Usually that's an out-of-pocket expense, and we do have scholarships available.
So Michigan Tech can actually serve as something as a go-between. So if you have a situation where you have a student from Iran coming to Michigan Tech, and so they're out of their element there, but then they get involved in a study abroad program, and now they are studying in Chile.
Yep.
You know, and providing an opportunity to, you know, that is just so hard. You know, it's not going to come to these students any other way, you know, than through an institution like Michigan Tech. So what are the benefits? They come back from, you know, studying abroad, and they come back and they still have to finish their schooling here. How do they come back better prepared?
Yeah, so most of our students, before they ever leave campus, their courses are pre-approved. So the courses that they'll take abroad are pre-approved. So they know before they go already how the classes that they'll take will integrate into their degree here at Michigan Tech. So usually what we find, what we encourage students to do, you know, for example, if you're a mechanical engineer at Michigan Tech, you can certainly go abroad and take thermodynamics and differential equations. Those are the same courses you take here at Michigan Tech. But when you're abroad, why not take something that you might never have available to you? And so, you know, for example, we had a student a few years ago. She was studying biology at Michigan Tech. She went to Costa Rica and took courses in tropical biology. Now, clearly, the UP is not a tropical environment. So she was able to really do a lot of super interesting field research that would have never been available to her. And while she was there, she ended up volunteering at a nonprofit that rescued primates, mostly baby sloths and spider monkeys, rescued them from deforestation impact. And later, you know, it was such a great experience that they ended up hiring her after she graduated, and she moved back to Costa Rica, and now she focuses on primate work. So we tell students, you know, you can certainly go abroad, take your, you know, whatever, your business classes, your humanities classes, whatever you need to take, but really try something different. Because the experience that that gives for them when they come back is we find that they have a much broader worldview. And overall, they've grown up a lot faster than they would have here, because you just, you know, you have to figure out problems when you're in another country on your own. And it's a little bit harder to just call mom and dad and say, hey, my bank card isn't working, or I can't find the bus map. And, you know, students become very resourceful and adaptable.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of parents out there right now that are, you know, worrying because they know their child had, you know, trouble as a teenager just going up to the store and, you know, getting the correct things to come home with, and then managing them being somewhere, you know, in the other side of the world, in the middle of nowhere, as they would consider it, and on their own. But how much help are you able to provide those students as far as aid?
Yeah, so in every one of those 150 locations that I mentioned where we have study abroad programs, we have staff on the ground to support the students. So our office certainly has a level of accommodation and support, but most of the support once they get there is from staff on the ground, local experts who actually will do an extensive orientation with the students, walking them around the town that they have just arrived to, showing them where the grocery stores are and how to use public transportation, being available for any situations that may come up. And we have very close integration with those staff members on the ground as well. So honestly, the level of support is very comprehensive. And I'm always telling parents now, studying abroad in this day and age is not like it was, you know, 20 or 30 years ago when you just took a backpack and went to Europe. Studying abroad is a much wider, more hands-on sort of research or intern experience than it was before.
You mentioned a couple of roles that alumni play, I guess, you know, for international students who become Michigan Tech alumni. How closely do they stay with the school, and what opportunities or advantages do they have, continuing that relationship?
Yeah, you know, that is one of my favorite parts of my job. You know, when I get to the opportunity to travel to other countries for recruitment, to look for new students to come to Michigan Tech, a lot of times I'm doing that with the help of alumni who've already graduated from Tech and are now back in their home country. And for them, you know, they are so excited when we land, for example, in Pune, India, and get a group together for a dinner or something like that. They honestly, they that is where a lot of our word of mouth recruitment comes from. When they're back in their cities and in their countries, they're talking about their Michigan Tech experience. They're talking about, when I was just in Thailand a few weeks ago, I brought, that sort of fake powder snow you just add water to and it makes snow. So I brought that to Thailand because I thought kids would just find that so cool. They've never seen snow. And one of our alums who was with me on the ground, he just started having all these flashbacks of digging his car out from under 2 feet of snow. And those are the things that they relish. Those are the memories they relish. And they do want to maintain that relationship with us. And many times it's very successful.
Well, this has been a really delightful conversation, talking about the international community at Michigan Tech. I love the Parade of Nations. I love being able to see, what these students are able to do and what they bring to the area. And thank you for coming on the show to talk about it.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.